In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. It's with great joy that I welcome you to St. Thomas the Apostle, especially those of you who may be visitors, maybe from out of town, or maybe your wife or your parents drug you to Mass, kicking and screaming. However you got here, we're happy that you are here, and we hope that your heart will be filled with joy as today we celebrate, above all the days of the year, a day of great light that shone into the darkness of humanity that brought great joy to all the peoples around the world. And so we celebrate today the birth of our Savior. You know, when we're making a big decision, one thing that we look for are signs that point us in the right direction. And I think everybody, people everywhere, love signs. They love to have confirmation for decisions that they are making, and they want to have signs that someone loves them. Maybe their sign is a daily text message, and they're always checking their text messages. We're looking for little signs that the person still cares. Or maybe we ask God to give us a sign so that we know what his will is for our life. Or maybe we just enjoy those times when we feel that God has given us a sign that tells us that he loves us, that he's with us, and that he cares for us. So I think everybody loves and looks for signs in their life. There's a true story. A friend of mine, Monsignor Bui, who's just returned from Rome, he was sharing with me a story of a seminarian that he went to school with. And this seminarian was from Rhode Island. I know we all forgot that that was like a state, right? But it's so small. But he was from Rhode Island, and he was quite the athlete. He was a very skilled basketball player. And he, in his senior year, was making a very difficult decision. And so he was praying and asking God for a sign. On one side, he felt that God might be calling him to become a priest. And they had a seminary there in Rhode Island that would be the place he would go to study and be formed to become a priest. But at the same time, he received a full basketball scholarship to go out of state to a very prestigious school. And so he was praying to God, asking for a sign. God, what do you want me to do with my life? Do you want me to become a priest? Or do you want me to become maybe a famous basketball player? And maybe I'll be in the NBA one day, and I'll be able to tell everybody that I'm Catholic and that I praise you. And so he was struggling with the decision to make and was asking God to give him a sign, but nothing was coming. So he began to pray a little bit more. He went to adoration. And it was one day that he was kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. He received his sign. He opened his eyes, and above the altar he saw the crucifix. And right above Jesus' head, there's a sign. And he read it, and it said, I-N-R-I, which to him read like, in Rhode Island. So of course that meant he would have to go to the seminary that was in Rhode Island because the school was out of state. And he ended up becoming a priest, and it's a true story. Sometimes when God answers our prayers and gives us a sign, they can be a bit humorous, and sometimes they can be very serious. I have a wonderful story from my own vocation story about a sign that I received from God, but that's for another day. I'll share that. You have to come back. I'll give that to you another day. Imagine if God could come to us today and ask us, what do you want me to do for you? How can I show you more fully that I love you? What sign would you ask from Almighty God? Today, in which we celebrate Christmas, God used signs to speak not only to us, but to every generation. To the very first Christians, the very first Christians, you know, they were Jewish, so they knew the story. They knew the prophecies of Isaiah that God would come to his people. They knew that God had made an oath to David, the king. And he had promised to David that his kingdom, there would be no end. And they saw the kingdom of David crushed and destroyed. And so they were wondering, is God not going to be faithful to David? And so the early Christians, when they heard that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And last night at the vigil mass, Deacon Chavira read off 42 names. 42 names. He did a pretty good job pronouncing most of them. But it's the genealogy of Jesus Christ, who can trace his lineage through David, through Joseph, all the way back to David. And so in the person of Jesus Christ, God is fulfilling the oath he once made to David, the king. And of course, Jesus' kingdom is spread all over the world. And today, his faithful subjects come and celebrate the birth of that great king. We hear in the gospel reading today, the angel announcing this news to the shepherds, that something joyful was happening. To you, I bring you a message of great joy that is for you and for all the people, and this will be a sign to you. What is the sign the angel is speaking of? You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. How is that a sign to us? A baby lying in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Perhaps it's one way to look at it is to say the swaddling clothes. When I was growing up, I always thought that that just meant he had some soft blankets and Mary wrapped him up in these soft, warm blankets. But the word swaddling clothes means that it was a burial garb. When they prepared a body for burial in and around the Holy Land, they would use things called swaddling clothes, which were very narrow strips of cloth that would be wrapped around the person's limbs, and they would be preparing them for burial. And so this child is different from all other childs, according to this angel. This is a sign to us that this baby is being wrapped in this burial clothes, these swaddling clothes. All of us are born into the world so that we may have life. The Catechism says that we are born into the world so that we can know God, we can love God and serve Him and be with Him in all eternity in heaven. And so we're born into life. We're born seeking eternal life. But Jesus is the only baby that was born to die. Jesus already had eternal life. He was equal with the Father. And He chose to humble Himself and to come among us. And He's the only baby who was born for the specific purpose to die for us and to restore the relationship we once had with God when Adam and Eve would walk with God in the garden and talk with Him very plainly. And so the angel says, this will be a sign to you. And so Jesus' birth, this swaddling clothes, is a sign that He came to die for us and to restore our relationship with God. And He's lying in a manger. What is it about a manger that becomes for us a sign? When I was a kid, I wasn't too bright. I thought that a manger was the stable. I thought it was the wooden structure. But later I learned what a manger really is. And it kind of surprised me. The word manger means food trough for animals. The manger is the makeshift crib that Mary laid Jesus in. And so usually it was full of hay, so maybe it looked soft enough to lay the child like a bed. But isn't it a sign that Jesus was laid in a food trough for the animals and that God would humble Himself to us unworthy humans and to be for us bread for the journey? He's laid in this manger is a symbol to us that we are to feed on Jesus. And we feed on Jesus by listening and absorbing His word. You know, the scriptures say, Lord, your word is sweeter than honey. And so we feed on Jesus through His word, but most especially we feed on Jesus through the sacrament of the Eucharist, that Jesus is the bread of life. And it's also very fitting that the city that Jesus was born in is called Bethlehem. Not Bethlehem, but Bethlehem. The Jews aren't allowed to eat ham. So it's Bethlehem. And the name of the city, Bethlehem, means house of bread. And so Jesus offers Himself to us as bread and wine, food for the journey to restore our relationship with God. And I love the symmetry in the Bible. When we read the very first story, when Adam and Eve knew intimacy with God, that when God told them, if you eat this fruit, you will surely die. And Adam and Eve ate it, and we're all the recipients of that original sin. And then in the words of Jesus, we hear Him say, now eat this. My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. If you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you will what? You will live forever. Jesus is the remedy of that original sin. And so this will be a sign to you. The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, a symbol that He is going to die for us, a symbol that He is going to feed us from the manger, this bread of life, to restore relationship with God. A baby also is a sign. God comes to us in great humility. Babies are extremely defenseless. I think of all the animals or creatures on this earth, how defenseless human babies are. We grow to be great, powerful creatures. We dominate the world. But when we're babies, we can't do anything. When I was at Christ the King, I used to raise chickens. And I was always amazed that within a few hours of hatching, that little chick could fend for itself. It doesn't need its mother. All it needs is warmth. But us humans, when we are babies, we are completely defenseless at the mercy of our mother and father, our families, to care for us for a very long period of time. And so God chose to come to us not as an earthly king or prince with great power, but rather God chose to come to us in great humility as a little baby. When I think of little babies, I think they're very approachable, you know. They're just so cute, you want to pinch their cheeks. And babies are very easy for us to approach. And I think God comes to us in this very approachable way. He comes to us as this little baby. I think it's difficult for us to understand the humility of God. That God, the Almighty, would choose to come and be completely powerless. The great creator of all creation would put himself in a position where he becomes dependent upon the creation around him to sustain him. The great God who created Mary, his mother, then becomes the child within the mother. And so it's a beautiful reflection to think of how humble God is in coming to us in this little baby. And he also unites then to the Trinity our human nature. Before Jesus was incarnated, we have the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And nowhere in the Trinity before the incarnation is there human nature. There's only divine nature. When Jesus was born, he brings into the Trinity human nature. And so Jesus was born fully human, fully divine. And so he allows us now to share through him in that divine nature. I suppose some people might say, God, that's not the kind of sign I want. I want to see some earthquakes. I want to see some lightnings flash across the sky. I want to hear some trumpet blasts and see you come in great power and glory and remove all doubt from people's minds and hearts that you are there and that you are with us and that you love us, you know. Give us a clear sign like that. And God tried that, and it didn't work so well. And people of Israel experienced God in many powerful, majestic ways. And again, they turned away from God. Imagine the people of Israel being led out of Egypt after witnessing so many great signs from heaven of God's power and the plagues that befell Pharaoh and all these people of Egypt. But the Israelites, all of them, were spared. And then they were brought into the desert, and God appeared to them as a pillar of cloud by day, and by night a pillar of fire. And then with great power, he divided the sea in two, and the people passed through the ocean as if on dry land. And when Pharaoh chased them down with his armies and his chariots and charioteers, God caused that ocean to fall upon him, and they were destroyed, and Israel was set free and led into the promised land. And about 40 days later, they had already created a golden calf and were worshiping it. We might desire God to show himself to us in a different way, with more power and more glory. But rather, God offers himself to you by saying, this is who I am. This little baby, he offers himself to us. That's his sign. Baby lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so he comes to us now, not in great power that can cause us to fear him, but he comes to us as a baby in which no one's afraid of a baby. And so we are simply in awe of God's love and mercy and the sign that he's given us. We can't hardly believe that God could become a baby. And yet that is what he has done for us. And so God offers simply himself to us, his person to us. And Jesus then restores relationship with God, and we receive him every time we come to Mass. This shows a great dignity of being human. being part of God's family, being redeemed in Christ, that we were purchased with such a great price of God's Son. If you have ever been feeling down, perhaps you're here and you're feeling depressed, or there's some things that are happening in your life, let the joy of Christmas soak in. Something unexplainable, something beyond extraordinary has happened in human history. God has become one of us, and he offers himself to us very simply. And he asks us to take a leap of faith, to believe in him, to trust in him, and to receive his love. And may the presence of Jesus coming into your heart dispel all sadness, and dispel all depression, and fill you with Christmas joy. Amen.